Well, it is a holiday weekend, and we celebrate and remember, and this is as comfortable as I get. So it's not shorts, right? Some people like to be more comfortable holiday. This is what I do. I'm taking off the coat so I can be more comfortable with you. Well, we are at the very end of our Sermon on the Mount series. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you've just maybe joined us for today, we have been in the texts and the words of Jesus for several weeks now, and today we get to wrap this up. Let's pray before we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your Son. We're thankful for his words, thankful for his leadership to 12 ordinary men. Lord, thank you for the grace and forgiveness he gave those men as they scattered and fled from his presence whenever he needed them most. Lord, thank you for just being able to use them, flaws and all. Lord, we ask that you today would help us to hear your word. Speak, let your word wash over us today, and I pray that we would leave transformed. We are your servants and we are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I've really enjoyed being able to study the words of Jesus, being able to really spend quality time in the text. We are very lucky. We get to look at these words over and over again on our devices, on our phones, on our Bibles. We have the luxury, but the first audience of Jesus did not have that luxury. Well, it's probably very similar to the way it is here. They didn't have pews, but you had a group of people following Jesus. You had disciples, and you had those people who were merely curious. Which one are you? Those people were listening. They were following. And they weren't just, they weren't just going to this place to hear him, to hear someone else speak. They were coming because they were expecting to hear a word from God. I wonder, do we come with that same expectation? So today I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to take a moment, transform your mind into one that is expecting to hear a word from God. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds. Go. I want you to put yourself in the places of those first audience members, those who were disciples and those who were merely curious. And I want you to expect to hear as they heard when Jesus said the words on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people persecute you, when people falsely say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they treated the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's good for nothing but to be thrown outside and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill, it can't be hidden. Neither would you light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, you light a lamp, you put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to the entire house. So in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think I've come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. For I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything has been accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same, he will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches these commands and practices them and teaches others to do the same, he will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I say, anyone who's angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, will be answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are coming to offer your gift at the altar, and there you remember that a brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. And first go, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. And settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still on the way, or else he may hand you over to the court. And the court will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will have you thrown into prison. And I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It would be much better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It would be much better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. It was said to the people long ago, he who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her into an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You've heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I say, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, give him your left one also. If someone sues you to take your coat, give him your shirt as well. If someone forces you to go with them 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks. Do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. You know your eye is a lamp of the body. And if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is full of darkness. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And by so doing, you will be called sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. If you greet only those who love you, what more are you doing than others? Where is your reward? What reward will you get? Do not even the tax collectors do that? If you only greet your own people, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, or else you'll receive no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do in the synagogues. They like for others to see that they're giving. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right one is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And then your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites do, for they love to pray standing on the street corners and in the synagogue so that everyone will see them. But I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he'll reward you. And don't keep babbling on like the pagans do. They think that they will be heard because of their many words. But I tell you, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do. They love to disfigure their faces so that everyone will see that they're fasting. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. When you fast, wash your hair, wash your face, so that people will not know that you're fasting. And then your Father in heaven, who is unseen, when he sees what is done, he will reward you. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves instead treasures in heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Because your eye, it's the lamp of the body. And when your eye is healthy, the whole body is full of light. But when your eye is unhealthy, the whole body is full of darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about your life, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? For is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I mean, which of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to your life? Think of the grass of the field. Is not life more than clothes, the body? Look at the grass, look at the flowers. Solomon, in all of his glory, was never once dressed like one of these. And if this is how God feels about the grass of the field, the grass, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry about your life, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them before you even ask him. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today, it has enough problems of its own. And don't judge, or you'll be judged. For the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at your neighbor who has a speck of dust in his eye, and all the while you have a plank in your own eye? Why do you say to your neighbor, "Hey, let me get that speck out of your eye," while ignoring the plank in your own eye? First, remove the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not throw what is sacred to dogs. Do not cast what is precious to pigs, or else they may turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, he who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asked for a loaf of bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? Now, if you, who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? Therefore, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few will find it. Beware of false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside, they are ferocious wolves. But by their fruit, you will recognize them. Would you pick a grape out of a thorn bush? Would you try to pick a fig out of thistles? No, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees, they bear bad fruit. No good tree is going to bear bad fruit, and no bad tree will bear good fruit. And all the bad trees that are bearing bad fruit, they'll be cut down and will be thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. And not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. On that day, many will come to me, and they will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name?" And I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoer." Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and they put them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. A rock. The rains will come, the streams rose, the winds, they beat and they blew against the house, and the house stood firm because it was built on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice will be like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. Sand. The rains fell, the streams rose, the winds they beat and blew against this house. The house fell with a mighty crash. Let's close our eyes, and we're going to sing this twice more, and I'm going to ask you to, as we sing, I just want you to think and ask what God is trying to tell you today. Come with expectancy. We all have a response. And as our eyes are closed, I want to invite you to respond today to the Word of God.